went to see William Hayter today and his wife. Talked about you.
Well, you never quite approved of me. He quite liked me. He thought my knighthood was ridiculous.
Bill Hayter?
Yes.
Really?
Not ridiculous. And the way he thought it outrageous. Why, how is he?
Well, he's got what you've got. He's got a paralyzed vocal cord.
How much he got worse than this?
His voice is...
Your cancer, come on.
Does he?
He certainly not. He's got an operation.
You looked okay to me.
Well, we even made a couple of times. Then the identity is a result of me.
Yes.
He must be idiot.
Yeah.
You also had me, did you?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Well, in confidence, he was tremendously flattering.
Oh,
nice
really?
To you.
Shouldn't have been. Well, I've learned all different views.
Really?
Well, I'm lovely with company and quite all right to know. He wasn't a diplomat by training.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be anything ironical.
No,
and I got a night with the Phoenix Prize.
Did he?
What for?
That's rather ungenerous of him.
I'm telling you, he was a knight already himself.
Yes.
It wasn't Hindu.
Yes.
Maybe, but I mean, it was very difficult to tell what I did get.
Yes.
But I was very early. Simply as a, because I think better like him.
Yes.
No, no better reason. Enjoyed talking to him.
Yes.
Suddenly through. Negative and present. My present. That's different.
Yes.
Nobody could say for political services or for philosophy or anything.
Yes.
I mean, the new quotation is my name. Match the Guardian. It's quite ironical.
I don't know. I thought
both of them showed genuine affection for you. Maybe I was just being taken in.
Maybe a bit. But why not? She's a bit nuts. He's a little, but a very left-wing daughter.
Yeah.
We live with him now, in part. We read a book, very left-wing, sort of lived with a kind of dissident communist. And we read a book called Peter of the Bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
Violent attack.
Yeah.
And capitalization.
Yes.
It's clever, my daughter, I said. No, it's not good. I know our friends. They come to meals with and all that. Oh, we thought he likely. Many most worshipped. He loved them, have at heart. He thought he was perfect.
Yes. Many people did worship
her. Oh, certainly. But I didn't come up to his knee.
Yeah.
He himself was a perfectly bland, nice. Rather aesthetic.
Yes.
Cultivated man.
Cultivated.
Like music. Like painting.
Yes.
And not a very good person for the college.
Really?
Idle. Carol despised the colleague. Too grand for them.
How was it?
Yes. Didn't it?
Yes, in his published memoirs, there's a rather amusing story about him asking you whether the dispatches that you wrote in Washington were true. And you said true at a deeper level.
Yes, I said that very. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Deeper level comes from prison kids. That's a philosophical joke,
yeah.
Which you didn't get.
Yeah.
You see, deeper level is an ironical joke.
Yeah.
But it's in prison kid Bradley.
Yeah.
Again, it's also that it's truth, and there's truth at a deeper level. Of course I meant it as a joke.
Well, it was obvious to me it was a joke, but I haven't caught the Bosanquet reference.
No, what he had done.
Is that a good?
No, what he had done.
Yeah.
Frank said what I wanted. That's the truth. The deeper level. And he was an ambassador in Russia.
Yeah.
He enjoyed these people.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, which I'm wandering all over the shop, I hope you don't mind, but it's just picking up pieces of things that concern me, which is whether you can give an account for what Henry Hardy and I often notice, which is the great explosion or the great period of your intellectual, your most creative period.
not too late. Short on that. I wrote a paper for the student idea on my independence before the war.
Yes.
Because I've sort of felt I had to. Two or three philosophical papers.
Yes.
They were not particularly interesting, but quite decent kind.
Yes.
That was part of my profession.
Yes.
Part of being a tutor.
Yes.
At Oxford, I felt.
Yes.
I had to do something. Then, as a result of learning to dictate in Washington,
yes.
I've always found it very painful to write, of course.
Yes.
I began dictating here, and I found that instantly easier.
Yes.
And so the Hedgehog of the Fox, the first thing I did on return was a thing called Critical Ideas in the 20th Century, which was commissioned. I have said this once. I'm a taxi cab. Without commission, I don't produce.
Yeah.
It was commissioned by Foreign Affairs. They knew the editor was doing work. He kept pressing me to do it. They said, all right, I'll do something.
Yeah.
That was dictated.
Yes.
No time at all. But then to save it, more than to save it out for. Then, there was Hedgehog and the Fox. Dictated in 2 days. That was because the Oxford Slavonic Studies, I had to do a lecture on the Slavonic subject, made by the Professor of Russian, my name, Professor Konovalov, Fellow of New College, and I delivered the lecture. He said, well, if you can write that, I'd like to publish it. So I wrote it out, and he rejected it. This is not in time. And then somebody intervened. Was saved.
Yes.
It was then published as Notes about the Historical Skepticism of Lev Tolstoy. It was never read by anybody.
Yes.
In that form.
Yes.
Somebody picked it up.
Weidenfeld picked it up?
Somebody must have told Weidenfeld.
Yes.
He looked at it and thought, it's published. Where is he? Yes. Not for him. It's my pocket. My best man work. Easy.
Yes.
And then I wrote it. And then Weidenfeld said, not quite long enough. Some quite, I mean, you know, it's a pamphlet. Probably a little longer. So I made it a little longer.
Yeah.
Had it some more.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yes.
After that, I had delivered the Auguste Comte lecture.
Yes.
That was historical inevitability.
Yes.
Then was my inaugural lecture.
Yes.
As professor. That was two concepts.
Yes.
For liberty.
Yes.
That's it. That's a great period. Ended in
56. But then there's Vico, Herder, all that other stuff comes later.
That's quite true.
Then there's Romanticism that comes after.
Oh, but that's much later. That was the Mellon lectures.
Yes.
In Washington.
Yeah, after the 65.
One what?
Yes, that's the end of your...
Yes, quite. I was invited to do it. I had the idea. I was asked to the Mellon lectures, which I would have done on that, and then they took it back again, the office. You see? Then I did deliver these long things on another Mellon lecture. Not Mellon, pick up on Reith lectures.
Yes.
I was invited to do that by a lady called Nyuta Kalina, a Russian, who was responsible for
the
lectures.
Program, yes.
And so I accepted it. I thought I would talk about Romanticism. I thought then. And then they withdrew the offer and gave it to somebody else.
Why?
Never knew. So then they did, of course, produce these lectures at the end.
Yes.
But not as Reith lectures.
As Mellon lectures.
As Mellon lectures.
Yes.
And then there was lectures called, Freedom and its Betrayal.
Yes.
Six lectures.
Yes.
They were really kind of rehearsal, as written by me, for lectures in Bryn Mawr, which I had to do.
Yes.
So with that sort of thing.
Yes.
Called
How
upon.
Do you account for the fact that there is this period from, say, Hedgehog right through to the Mellon lectures, stretching the period out, when you do a lot of the work for which you're famous, and it's concentrated in this period? What's happening to a sort of mature soul. Marriage,
not you at
what
all.
Is it?
Not you at all. No, you're talking about the pre-marriage.
Yes.
No, no, the first 3 years is a pre-marriage. The Russian stuff. The 4 years is on which appeared in the Encounter.
Yes.
The Russian thinkers.
Yeah.
That's pre-marriage.
Yes.
And there you use it. No. I don't know. Change of subject. Abandonment of philosophy.
Yes.
Liberation. That's what it is.
That's interesting.
I never thought I was terribly good at philosophy. I did my best, but it was rather torture.
Yes.
And I admired other people much more than myself. And I knew I was not in the front rank. I never was.
Well, but I get also the impression that you've done most of the reading that will sustain you for the rest of your life.
Before
in
the
Oxford
war.
In the 30s.
Before
reading
the war.
For Marx.
Before, well, I had to read Marx.
I mean, reading
Marx.
For Marx, I
well,
said.
Well, that's why I took it into the 18th century.
Yeah.
Everything I knew about the Enlightenment comes from that.
Yeah.
But that's pre-Marxist.
Yeah.
Because a book of Plekhanov
yeah.
called On Theory of Monism and History or something, that is simply a series of essays of the forerunners.
Yes.
And there is a wonderful writer, and I loved reading Russian.
Yes.
And I had to read him for Marx.
Yes.
I became interested.
Yes.
It's always accidental.
Yes.
Helps no use, you know. I just happened to come across volumes in London Library.
Yes.
I never had a vague idea to who he was.
Yes.
And I fell in love with him.
Yes.
They're always pièce d'occasion.
Yes.
And never, not part
but
of the policy.
They are pièce d'occasion, but there is a period of tremendous creative work where you just do one interesting thing after another. And you think it's because you changed discipline.
Well, philosophy of history, that's Vico.
Yes.
And Herder. They're both about that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought about. And there was an article in a thing called, I think something like History and Theory, on the, which was reprinted somewhere, on the categories employed in writing history.
Yes.
Different than history and science.
Yes.
Rather Oakeshottian, I'm afraid.
Yes.
If only I knew, wouldn't have done it. You see, that comes from interest, yes. Because I was a research fellow of all those. I was meant to research Russian ideas. Russian ideas about nature of history.
Yes.
And that led me to these people.
Yes.
You see, yeah, there's
that's
really...
That's why you're not really
I
a cab. That's why all this stuff about being a taxi is true in one sense and absolutely false on the other. But there's a continuity. There's a...
Oh,
okay,
absolutely, yes. It's the same territory, really. Philosophy of history,
history of ideas,
Russian evolutionists, ideas of Russian, from the 19th century,
yeah.
Russian evolutionists, same market.
Right.
Same book, same section of the market.
When I, in times past, when I've said that some of your creative life appears to me to be related to falling in love and then eventually later marrying, you've always rather bridled at that.
Well, I think it's nothing to do with my intellectual life.
You're sure? Why are you so sure?
Well, I've,
always
sure
felt when, I've always felt my own, when I've ever done creative things, it had to do with the fact that I was in love or I was feeling good or
no,
I was...
No, not contrary.
No.
It excited me. No doubt I wasn't excited there because I was in love. The wife of another man who I never thought I'd marry.
Yeah.
So that tortured me. And no doubt had an effect on me that had no effect on the lecture that I delivered. And I did it because I was a research fellow, then I was a university lecturer. I had duties.
Yes.
Since I had to do it, I had to get it up.
Yeah.
That's all it really was. To justify my existence. It was a shame not to. All it comes to. By nature, I'm indolent.
Yeah.
If I could have been paid not to do it, I'd been relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I stop being a professor, stop.
Yeah.
I stop being Professor Whalen, 56.
You stopped?
Yes. Didn't finish my top lift. I did, but I mean, nothing. Well, I mean, I did a big piece on Ahmadabad and all
that.
Yeah. Those victories.
Yeah.
Nothing solid. We see Haman and all the other, but still the relics of that.
Yeah.
I never shot away into something new or original.
Yeah.
Or something that never happened. I remained totally involved with ideas and ideas.
Was going and becoming very involved in the founding of Wolfson a sort of self-conscious, did you think, I really want to stop lecturing, I want to stop
doing this stuff? Yes, no more than that. I was bored of being a professor. And more than that, the truth things said about me by my enemies are told the truth. My enemy, Perry Anderson,
yeah.
Was rather unfriendly with a survey. My work, you know the thing I mean.
Yes.
Says that the thing about Berlin is he's not really interested in politics. It's true.
Yes.
I'm not. Not that people who are interested in politics are.
Yes.
And there I was professor of social and political theory. And I felt that shameful.
Yes.
I'm not interested in politics, I can't go on. I preach as a historical subject. All my lectures are about previous thinkers. But fundamentally, I'm not interested in politics. And such a person ought not to be professor of science. So I did my stint 9 years or so. That was the end of it. Then I wasn't made an emeritus professor because the warden of Nuffield, who I think was the chairman of the Social Studies Board, had 10 years as a minimum. I hadn't done my 10 years. Couldn't. And not allowed to be called professor like Haynes. In other universities, yes. Not in this one. Deep wound.
A deep wound. You've never recovered.
What more can I tell about my intellectual life, academic life? I became more Wolfson as I get away with, because I thought it would be time to change. I'd rather like do something else.
Yes.
Just because I really didn't want to go on. Became a burden. That's why I wrote a piece on the Vietnam War, which I would never have written if I weren't professor and thought, shameful not to have a view.
Yes.
Got into immediate trouble with both sides. You read it ever?
Yes.
I can't wait to appear some book about pro and anti Vietnam. Both sides fell upon me like tons of bricks. Particularly Aaron Watts' name. Well, Perry Anderson. Not being right-wing enough, not being pro-Vietnam, and what's his name, Conor Brown,
yeah.
Sitting on the fence.
Yeah. Well, that answers some of my questions. I had no more.
I wrote a piece, two pieces that were lost, whatever, I'm relieved to look. The first piece is a piece on poets. Of my time, Horton, Spender, McNeice, and the Regiment of War. I wrote that for the London Mercury. I commissioned it, it was rejected, and I threw it away.
Right.
I felt that it was rather like a time bomb, the war was, and the whole attitude was in some way galvanized by that.
Yes.
No, it has been true, but the editor didn't think it good enough.
Yes.
But then the other is the paper. On other minds,
yes.
Which was what Wittgenstein.
Yes, that's the great loss. We don't know where it is.
We do.
Well, biographically,
it'd
be very interesting.
No, it was the ordinary mechanical philosophical paper of its time, refuting certain positivist propositions.
Yes.
Ordinary criticism of logical positivism.
Yes.
More positive in general. Why do I know? My headache is more violent than yours. I can't be, it's a singular proposition, which according to these people can be verified by some act of inspection. They think this is red. But this couldn't be. They couldn't enter your mind, your head. Compare your head with mine. Yet, it was undoubtedly had a meaning. The meaning was not the means of its verification. I couldn't verify it. Not as they wanted it verified. I could verify and produce evidence for it, but not verify it. That's all it's about. Not worth. Reply to my wisdom in a series of articles in mind. Not particularly good paper. Half an hour. Moody was very bored. Except for Bill Vitters. Suddenly got going.
So let's do some business, he said.
Ordinary business. In ordinary circles. You and I will talk. We did talk. It didn't even indelible impression on me. Meeting him did. And what we talked about. Completely forgotten by me.
Yeah. You didn't describe him to me very much. How did he look to you?
Very good looking.
Yes.
Extremely handsome.
Yeah.
Short, thin. Very short. Thin. With blue eyes. Not a piercing kind.
Yeah.
Penetrating eyes. Very delicate features. Brownish kind. Wearing a jacket with leather things, the elbows and sleeves. Which all the followers have to do. And rather intense, that's all. But unforgettable appearance. He's unforgettable by me. Who met him in the room, dude?
You.
I mean, rather strange, rather slightly visionary look. Slightly visionary look. It wasn't ordinary. Not a man who smiled normally or talked normally. Not like anybody else. Something special.
And that was the only meeting you had with him?
Yes, I saw him afterwards. But I saw him twice. As they were walking in the street in Holywell, living here, stopping every 20 yards or so and talking to her with him and then moving on. And he gave a paper. Came around and talked to the philosophical side. That I remember. I am on an ascending curve. I wish to go and talk.
I remember. Nobody said.
What?
Nobody said.
Ascending curve.
Yeah.
Yes, the man who read the paper, he never wanted to read papers. He was prepared to talk,
yeah.
Lead discussion, but not produce a paper. The man who read the paper was Oscar Wood, whose memorial service I'd like to go with him, and Descartes. And I've completely forgotten it. Not very intelligible either.
Yes.
Then he began talking. Streaming. His dream is all right. Difficult to say why. Set your mind racing. Very unusual, isn't it?
I'm going to have to go.
Time is 10 minutes to four.
Oh, well, I'll have to go down to London.
Back to London?
Back to London.
What happens then?
Sorry?
What happens then?
I go and talk to my wife.
Very good.
Have conversations with my wife.
Honourable, yes. And then?
Well, I wish it was less honourable than that. That's about all. I have to get back and see my wife.
And then?
And then?
You dine at home.
I dine at home. And then? Next week I'm away in Scotland.
What are you doing in Scotland?
Making a little film about Scotland. I made all these films about nationalism in the autumn, and the Scots asked me to make a film about them. So I'm going to listen and talk to Scots.
Scotnats.
Scotnats and other forms of life. And then I'm going to Canada.
D.S. Eliot, on one of the few occasions when I met him, said to me, I've just been to Scotland. I said, oh, yes. Would you like it? That I'm not sure. I went to the islands and I looked at all these hills. And looking at all the islands and the hills, you know, are the kind of thing which makes one give up all sense of endeavor. It's not what you expect him to say.
Yes.
He said it.
Yes, very good.
always remember that as a good.
Yes, it's good.
Then what happens? How do you done the sculpture?
And then I go to Canada.
Will you talk to the head of the movement?
Probably, yes. I don't think very highly of them, but I am puzzled by... I'm rather interested in the Scots. They think a lot about nationalism, and they think... They're very incensed, of course, because the series I made was so much about the carnivores. And they keep telling me they're herbivores as
mm-hmm.
nationalists. You know, nice, civic-minded, gentle souls. After that, I go to Canada and give some lectures.
On?
Well, I'm giving one, the only lecture I've ever given, and I will ever give, about television. Because I've done all this television. People want to hear me, what I think about the future of public broadcasting. So I'm going to talk about that.
In Toronto?
Yes.
I'm getting a degree from the university.
Really? In June?
No. In the autumn.
Oh, really?
In, yes.
You've
in,
accepted?
Well, my wife keeps saying she wants to go to New York. She persuaded me. So one of the ways of going to New York, if I go to Toronto, I'd love to come to New York.
When will that be? October?
Yes.
Oh, I'll come.
October, November.
I'll come and sit in the audience.
That kind of...
It's my
but
university.
Nothing to see.
Do you get up
come.
And talk?
No. That's the condition of accepting a degree.
Mum's the word.
Yes.
Well, good for you.
I'm surprised. And I've had to wait 85 years to get 2 degrees this year. In Dublin and Toronto.
Dublin's fair city. Oh, good. Good for you.
Dublin in July.
But you must have honorary degrees up your arm.
I do. I'm always suitable for 1 degrees. When 2 candidates have been taken and people can't decide between them, because there are 2 battling parties, I am the Social Guardians. I'm the compromise candidate.
Yes.
I'm very harmless. I'm not hated.
Well, you've perfected a certain kind of modesty on these questions, but you know perfectly well why you've been given honorary degrees. And it's not
no,
because you're a Tertian Gaudens.
I'm quite well liked.
Yes.
And when I have a reputation, quite well liked, nobody protects.
Yes.
Nobody's
in it. Is Gallipo's hand?
Nobody's in this, obviously.
Yes.
I have not Gallipo's book.
No.
But the picture on it, I was told by. First of all, by Hampshire. He thought it was actionable.
It's not.
I do. No, it is.
No,
then I met
I
a lawyer in London, great lawyer in London I know, called Lord Hutchinson, who is an eminent member of the Lords, a very, very good criminal lawyer. He said he prepared to get up and make money against the University Press. I said, how much do you think? He said, well, given your reputation, you're quite well known, very well known indeed. He said, between £8,000 and £10,000. Well,
oh,
worth
good.
It. I've waited. Then who else? Then 1 or 2 other people thought it dreadful. I think it dreadful. And then you see Henry Hardy try to defend it, saying some friend of his did it.
Yes.
He said, oh, it's the press, not him.
Yes.
And Paul Papp kept saying, don't be so hard on him.
Yes.
But I think it is not a service to me.
Yes.
I haven't very much vanity, but to look at that, I can't bear it. You like it?
I don't have a view of it. I think it's merely silly. I don't think it's...
This is just a caricature of it.
Yes.
But I think not a very good one.
No, it's not good. It's not
it's perfectly recognizable.
Yes.
Well, that's no doubt.
Yes.
But Henry likes it. And that's... I keep teasing about that.
Yes. Well, he's very... I think you should go easy on the teasing. He's very distraught. He thinks he's been consigned to outer darkness.
Because of that?
Yes.
Because of the caricature?
Yes, he feels he's in a wretched state about it. He feels you...
I don't mind a bit.
For a little while.
Let him rotate
on the spit.
Let him simmer, yes.
It's very funny. Now, he said to me, I popped my head around the door of his office today, and he was in a terrible old funk about this.
A terrible thing, another thing happened. I tell him it was actionable and all that. I repeated to him, saying the lawyer prepared to make money out of it. He said, well, it would be amusing to see how much money you'll make, and so on. And then the man called Wokler.
Yes, Robert.
Who I keep writing testimonials for.
Yes.
He can't get a proper job.
He's
rather
like... Manchester, isn't he?
Yes. And he's a very learned man.
Yes.
With no ideas.
Yes. specialist on Rousseau.
Yes. But not even interesting.
Yeah.
In his manuscripts, you know, it's different than Rousseau. What does Rousseau mean by this and by that?
Yeah.
But nothing, I mean, nothing about that. I mean, he's a pure Gilliard. Curious kind. He rather liked it and wrote to Henry. They rather liked it. And the letter by Henry, or something else, was given to me. Pierce, Oakley told me. And then, that's your minds. He said, no, I'm going to read it. You can't, I promise not to see. I promised Henry, I wouldn't show you.
Yeah.
He said, well, Wöckler too, 40 years, out of darkness. I then read the review by Wöckler of that.
Of the Gallipo.
Of Gallipo, yes.
Saying what?
Silly review. A bit friendly, but it's pedantic and ridiculous.
Yes.
Uninteresting.
Yes.
The Gallipo book seems all right to me. I mean, the original version. I haven't read it in college.
I haven't read it myself. The one I have read is the Gray book, which I think is very good. That is
not, of course, not. Not even Pete.
Takes you very, very seriously indeed, which is as it should
I've
be.
Done my best. I thought I'd put him up to the British Academy.
Oh, really?
Then I discovered he was writing his book, and I thought I couldn't, because it looked like quid pro quo.
Yes.
I told them that.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to vote for him. And the left, the liberals, are all against him.
I think that's scandalous. I think he's a very clever and able, difficult man.
All these things I think.
And he's the kind of man who
and
should
I
be promoted.
I approve of him. Absolutely. Yes. But I just can't get any allies for it.
I mean, he's an interesting Tory radical, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know. I said all that to them. No takers. Great ball. It's a very bad section.
Yes.
I'm going to resign from it as soon as I can.
You can't do any favors to me. I'm a kind of... It's terrible now. I couldn't ask you to write a letter if my life depended on it. It would be an inside job.
I would write it.
I'm teasing you. I don't think I've asked you to write a letter on my behalf.
Do
I propose to get through my life without having to make such a request.
For what? Of anybody? Or just of me?
Well,
you did ask me. You asked me to support you to get you money for your book about... For instance.
Yes, you did, yes. That's true.
I was very happy to hear.
And it was very kind of you.
Not at all.
Believer of you.
Enthusiasm. I remember we met in Cambridge. And who else was there?
Wasn't in Cambridge.
It's first time here.
First time, yes.
King.
Yes, we met in King's.
And I was staying with probably not all. Rothschilds. I was invited to dinner by Hayden Kelly.
Yes.
And present of the party, people appeared. With yourself, there was Hungarian.
István Hont.
He was there. István Hont was there. Who else might have been there?
I can't remember. I remember something else. I remember much more distinctly coming here to All Souls. Have lunch with you. And absolutely unaccountably saying, you asked me where did my grandparents live? And I said they lived near the Torreed Gardens, near the, and then I said, and heard myself make the error, aware that it was an error, I said, near the Dumas. At which point, like a sort of gun,
Duma.
And like a gun dog,
I
you bristled and said Duma so loud that, you know, Papers dropped. And I wanted the carpet to absorb me like a stain.
Let me tell you, I do it all the time. Aline says it's unbearable. I did it to Ezra Pound. Same time I met him.
Really?
I correct.
You mispronounced something.
Russian name. It's always the same. I do it in the middle of everybody. Aline says it's worse, man. Don't. Like, all the time. If I don't do it, I mutter it.
Yes.
Under my breath. Russian names are constantly mispronounced.
Yes. Well, I had absolutely zero excuse.
Ivanov. Ivanov, Ivanov. Both Ivanov is you, and Ivanov is non-you.
Yes.
That's the chief difference.
Yes.
They both occur.
Yes.
But Ivanov would be pretty different to think called Ivanov.
Yes, well, I remember that correction. It's great. Goodness. So, and what about you? What are you doing next?
I met a lady from Moscow.
Yes.
yesterday, about a quarter of an hour literally. And she said she won't want to meet me. Been here, and because of the heart of her song, she told me I was a hero. Whatever books were written,
Never
knew who it was.
Yeah.
The hero of a poem. I'd always had love of her. It was terrific. I was a immortal figure. Extraordinary. Said. I went to Oxford. I talked to one or two teachers in Russian. Nobody had heard of you. In Russia, everywhere. Nobody. I can't understand it.
Did you enjoy that or not?
More than anything in the world.
Yeah.
Minor teachers, if you can imagine. Girls teach Russian, not the wife, should they?
Yeah.
You see?
Exactly.
I couldn't have told them.
Yes.
He said, who?
I've been reading Amanda Haight's book.
Not a bad book.
Not bad.
Very denounced by Struve, who was there at the time.
Yes.
Doesn't that no good at all. Some kind of jealousy, I don't know. It's dullish. Very truthful.
Yes. It is dull, but it's truthful.
Truthful.
One of the things
she came with her to England.
Yes.
When she visited England.
In 65.
Amanda was the part of the entourage. She liked her.
Yes. When you talk to Akhmatova, I never quite have a sense of the distance.
Well, Amanda, she was an unhappy American girl, died in Australia.
Yeah.
In poverty.
Sorry, go on. When you're talking to Akhmatova, I don't have a sense of the distance between you. Are you sitting very close in the
very far.
Stygian gloom?
Not at all. No gloom.
She's across the room.
There's an empty room.
Yes.
Had furniture in it once.
Yeah.
Immediately after the war, 45, one wooden box.
Yes.
Table.
Yes.
Two or three chairs.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. And quite far apart.
She sat in one corner, I sat in the other.
Yes.
They did not touch her physically. Any point.
Yes. That wasn't the purpose of my question, but I'm
telling you, everyone assumes that I must have been aware of that.
Yes.
You're clearly in love with me.
Yes.
That I must have been in love with her.
Yes.
If I must, were you in love with her? I said no.
Yes.
You weren't?
Yes.
How could you not be?
No. And were you smoking cigars?
Yes.
Yes.
Little thin Swiss cigars.
Yes.
Those are smoking those days.
Yes.
Bogus. In false cigars. Thin kind of both pieces.
Oh, yes.
It's like blue smoke. Come on, call you down.
It's a very wonderful scene.
Good. When she was in, I was here, and she was in the other corner.
Right.
Reading her verse and talking. I'm not near each other.
She didn't stride about, or did she sit?
No. Yes. Sit it out. Remained all night. These rigid positions. No, she did get up. When she was in the middle of the night, she suddenly thought she ought to offer me something to eat. And she said, she had potatoes. She showed no reluctance. I'm not terribly ashamed of having these potatoes. She produced a dish boiled, three boiled, four boiled potatoes. Then her son came in. She was always convinced, because I'd met him, he was sent to exile.
Yes.
And could be.
Yes.
So I had one potato. But then she did get up. She went to the equivalent of the kitchen.
Yes.
Where the potatoes were boiled.
I've been to the rooms.
You've been to the rooms?
Yes.
Which are presumably different now.
Now a museum.
Quite. So it's full of books and full of objects.
Yes. Including her Oxford degree
gown.
How
many rooms?
Well, that's what's slightly confusing. I think in your memoir and in your memory, it appears to be sort of nothing more than two rooms.
One room in
the museum itself is...
One room in the kitchen.
One room in the kitchen. But the museum itself is many rooms,
possibly
four or five, the whole of the floor.
The entire floor, yes. That you didn't live in it.
Yes.
In one room.
And the room that you were in looked out on the interior courtyard. Two big windows.
That's right.
Or three, that, or...
Whatever, yes. That's where Randall Churchill's voice
was
heard. From there. Looked out
the and like all devotees of the cult, I looked out, down into the courtyard, half expecting a rather corpulent face to be staring up at me.
There it was. That's right, exactly. Right-hand corner of the palace.
Yes.
The Sheremetyevs. Called Fontane Dom. Sheremetyevo.
Right.
Right. planning on. There's the Opfontan with the Marriott. The Matavina. Big Fontan went. The gate is alright, the iron gate.
Except that they were swung back rather ominously in January 46.
About 300 people had to live there.
Yeah.
And they called them.
Extraordinary story. I shall enjoy writing about it. What are you doing later today? Are you going back?
I'm coming back here in order to take part in dinner of the club.
The club?
Well, indeed. The club is an old Oxford club, founded in the 18th century, which contained 12 members. Now it expanded to 14. Founded by I don't know who, was some lady and some man in the 1770s. It was a smart Oxford academic club. My election made it absurd. That's all what it meant. I became elected to the club to meet twice a term. And I was the club.